Well, we got to get out more. Get out of the world that can trap us in small minds, small thoughts, into God's kingdom, into the real world. And today I get to talk to Pat Gelsinger. Pat has a vantage point nobody else really does when it comes to thinking about spirituality and technology and human flourishing, which is what we're going to talk about today. So, Pat, thank you very much for doing this.
Always a pleasure, John, and just love the program, love the show. And I'm only a few episodes behind, but as part of my morning ritual is to become new.
Well, so Pat has led VMware, led Intel, had a unique career in fields of technology, deeply involved in spiritual life, deeply involved in ministry on tons of boards, including Become New,
Indeed, my
and
pleasure and
has had
honor.
an enormous impact in real deep ways and in real deep and dark moments in my life and Nancy's life. And so means a ton. And thank you for doing that. So let's talk about technology. In this series that we've been looking at, Jonathan Haidt's book, numbers of other folks who write about it, including people that write from a faith perspective, it seems like we hear a ton of warnings. Technology and emotional health, technology and isolation, tech and pornography, all kinds of stuff. So I'd love to get your perspective on technology and what's going on right now. Online world screens, is it bad? Is it good? How do you think about that?
Well, first, technology is neutral. It's neither good nor bad in that sense.
Yeah.
It's how we use it. It's how we shape it. And I think of both of those as really important because are you going to use it for good or bad? Right? Am I going to go online and get smarter? Or am I going to go online and degrade into things that I should have never been in the first place? Right? Would I walk into an X-rated store? But would I stumble into an X-rated website? Right? And it's just so much easier in the anonymity of the experience to use it, good or bad. And also, are we going to be shaping it as good for bad? As we as society, as we as faith leaders and faith individuals, are we going to be actively shaping it for good, right? In that regard, and bending that arc of technology. The printing press, it could do the Bible, it could do pornography, right? Okay, it didn't care, right? The internet, it can, present biblical text, it can present, insightful views, or it also can lead you to deranged propaganda, right, as well, and weird theories and so on. So it's neutral. How are we going to use it for good? And part of my focus, I've lived at the intersection of faith and technology my entire adult life. It's being a force for good.
And so how do you think about that? A lot of people can write about what do they do personally in order to use technology to grow and contribute, not to go down wrong paths with it. You can comment on that if you want to, but you have kind of a unique perspective because you're helping to shape it. And so to hear some about how do you think about that? How do human beings shape technology for ill or for good? I'll read about folks who, like with social media, figure out how to make it as addictive as possible. And that seems like something that's got more potential for ill than for good. How do you think about what does it look like to shape it? And there'll be young people who are watching this where they could go into fields like technology and have a big impact that way.
And I've had cat's bird seat for so many of the technologies helped to create Wi-Fi, right? I sat in Congress arguing for the spectrum allocations that have enabled Wi-Fi, doing standards battle when one of our grandkids plugs in a USB stick. She says, "Thank you, Papa."
That's a rare gift to give to a grandkid.
I've been involved in many of these. I helped to create net neutrality, right? Which in many regards, was a powerful enabler of the internet, for the first decade. But then it also gave, the total abdication of responsibility to the social network providers today that can, give you click-throughs of deranged and terrible things and cold no responsibility for that. So in that sense, I feel very good about what we did with the internet standards and what became the 320 laws enabling the internet of today. But I also feel bad because there is no responsibility built into them as well. And when we think about today, particularly with AI, are we as a faith community going to embrace it? Are we going to use it? Are we going to learn from it? It'd be like saying, hey, I want you to get good medical care, but don't use an MRI machine because that's new technology. Well, of course you should use it, right? You know, I'm going to go to a great financial advisor, but don't use a spreadsheet, right? That, you know, I don't trust that technology. Of course you should use it, right? And we go, you know, over and over again, you know, through society, of course you should be using it, embracing it, learning it, taking advantage of it. The insights that you can gain from chat services today are so powerful. But one example of how we're also trying to shape it. And just a couple of weeks ago, we released out of Glue, right, which I'm the head of technology and the chair of the board for, is creating the Flourishing AI Benchmarks. And the, if you follow the Human Flourishing Study, Harvard, Baylor, and Gallup, seven dimensions of human flourishing, right? You know, wellness, character, faith and spirituality and financial, right? Relational.
These. So they identify what are the key spheres in which it's possible for people to flourish. Yeah. And then how do you measure it?
Yeah. And it, you know, was a 5-year study, over 70 countries, over 200,000 interviews done. I mean, so a comprehensive data set. And Nature, the premier scientific magazine, you know, of our day, you know, basically compares it to the Human Genome Project. Right. Wow. You know, it is, you know, they view it as that substantive in that regard. But what defines human flourishing? We now can answer that with a declarative data set, right, associated with what it is. But then what we did is we took that declarative data set and turned it into questions to measure AI. Right. And that's what the Flourishing AI Benchmarks are about. Now we're going to quantitatively say, is OpenAI O3 GPT good or bad, as you measure? Is Gemini good or bad?
So the benchmarks, I was thinking of them as measuring like society or an individual's life, but they'll actually be able to evaluate the contributions or not of particular forms of artificial intelligence.
And you're going to be able to look at that and sort of say, on the wellness category, how did you do on the spirituality category? How does Copilot from Microsoft compare to Gemini, compare to Anthropic's models, compare to which one's good? But now also in creating this subjective as well as quantitative view, you're going to be able to then, you know, every one of the model developers, our goal would be that they start saying, okay, these are the dimensions that matter. I'm going to make my models better as they look to the future. And I always describe it as, you know, should we release this technology into the wild? Should we make it broadly available? And imagine a drug that, you know, in 10% of the people, it solved the problem.
Right.
You know, 50% of the people, it was okay. And 40% of the people died. Can I release that drug? No, not yet. The FDA wouldn't allow that. Yeah. Right? You got to do more work on the drug. You have to make it better. You have to do more engineering associated with it. Similarly with our AI technologies, our social network. And today, you know, there's clear evidence that shows that about 40% of social network users get bad results from it. It should not be released that way.
Yeah.
And now we want to create frameworks that allow people to say, is the AI ready to be released? Is the engineering done? It may be great for some people, but if I have tremendous ills on these different dimensions of human flourishing, it's not done yet.
Yeah.
Do more engineering, make it better. You know, make your benchmark scores better and reflect the human values. And that's the power of this, you know, data set is, you know, it's not our values as Christians. You know, these are human values.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And again, right, you know, we have a data set now and the, you know, we have over 1,200 questions as part of this that sort of says, okay, let's measure how you're doing on these dimensions of human flourishing. So I'm quite proud of that work. And then we at Glue, we're also going to be releasing a chat service as well. So you're going to have Glue Chat. Right.
You know, wow. So you're developing your own chat from Glue.
And we are going to focus on those dimensions of human flourishing, you know, spirituality, and be able to represent the Christian views that you would have and be able to hopefully, not that we want to be a consumer service, but we want all of the major Christian value-centered, you know, recovery networks, et cetera, is to say, hey, if I'm using that as my foundation, I'm going to be pretty good.
So you're super involved in the world of technology. You're also deeply involved in church, ministry, on boards. And so what do you think those of us who are pastors and folks who attend churches and churches most often get wrong when it comes to technology? If you could correct one misguided assumption, what would it, preach for a minute.
Well, over history, you know, why did Christ come when he came? I will argue the Pax Romana and the Roman roads, one of the greatest technological innovations, are why God chose to bring Christ at that point in time, because the word could go out.
Yeah.
Right? You know, next moments in history, the Gutenberg Press. And with that, Martin Luther, right? The translator of the Bible, the end, right, of this view that God's word can't go out, the establishment of the foundations of learning. It all happened because Luther and Gutenberg, without ever saying, let's go collaborate on changing the world.
Yeah.
They collaborated on changing the world with the greatest technological innovation of the day, the printing press. You know, and I think of today AI as a Gutenberg moment for our world and our society. And you know, what I would look for, you know, pastors, faith leaders, that says, embrace it. Use it.
Good.
Right? It is powerful.
Yeah.
Right? You know, to sit here and say, I'm not sure about it. Okay, now you are choosing to step back from using the printing press, right? If you would be, you know, and instead, what we've seen through history is when faith leaders embrace the technology of the day, they change the world. You know, when they embrace radio, when they embrace TV, it becomes this powerful outlet. You know, we're not perfect as a church in that regard, but it becomes this most powerful tool to be shaping society. And as we look at this moment again, right, we didn't show up in the social networking. We didn't, you know, we didn't shape it, didn't use it.
And the church did not. People
yeah,
of faith really.
You know, and now you have the cloud guys who, you know, of, you know, financially motivated click-through dwell times, et cetera. You know, they're deciding, you know, the future of social networking. I want the faith and flourishing community to show up, embrace it, use it, to be vocal on what's good and bad about it. But you can't do that if you're standing on the outside. You got to be in the arena. Using it. Power. It's powerful today.
Yeah.
But saying, oh, this ain't good enough yet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 40% of people aren't getting value from it. Okay, it's not done. We're going to be involved to make it better.
So really, I mean, it kind of goes back to Genesis 2 when God creates human beings and then we're to exercise dominion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Part of that mandate.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't get the opportunity as a faith leader, as a faith community, to criticize something if you're not in the arena.
Yeah.
So I would just say, the first, you should be using it in incredible ways. And by the way, it is pretty good. And, you know, I get insights as I use it. I typically have 3 chat screens open on my computer all the time.
No kidding.
Yeah, you know, I typically have, you know, Microsoft's. I typically have OpenAI's and Google's open. If I don't like the answer for one, I ask one of the other ones, right? Okay.
Yeah. So how much will you be using AI? You use various forms. How much will you be using it typically during a day?
Well, I'll probably use it 30, 40 times per day.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, but to me, it's even, you know, in that, you know, the chat services, but then it's sort of saying, how do we start building into it? You know, our objective would be every, you know, there should become the Ortberg chat. Right? You know, where people can interact with
them. Nancy will be thrilled to hear about that.
Right.
Nancy, you know, stay tuned.
You know, every one of your sermons, every one of your pieces of materials should be, you know, retraining, and we should be building model that allows people to interact with John Ortberg, right, in your trainings. And, you know, with that, right, and it's good enough to do that. Every church, you know, Life Church, okay, we want Life Chat. Right,
yeah.
You know, reflecting the pastors and the views. We want Campus Crusade chat, right? So crew chat, right? Reflecting the history of everything that we've taught and so on. And now any person anywhere in the world can come and say, well, what does Campus Crusade think about that? Or what does, you know, Compassion think about that? You know, and be able to composite all of that learning. But to me, it gets even better. Right, you know, we will have connected every human on the planet. Right, over 90% of humanity will be connected persistently to the internet over the next 10 years.
Say that one more time. Over 90%
of humanity will be connected to the internet in a persistent way over the next decade.
That's staggering.
Yeah, today it's in the 60s for the world. So can I reach every person on the planet? Yes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the vast majority of people in particular over the next decade, we will be connecting the underserved, underrepresented
people in poverty.
That's powerful. Second, we will solve language over the next decade. Mm. Today, language is well solved by AI. For the top 100 or so languages in the world, almost all of the disenfranchised and poverty live not in those 100.
Yes.
Right? So the other 7,000 languages, we will solve them.
So that task of translation that Wycliffe and others have devoted a lifetime to is actually going to be solvable.
Going to be solved over the next decade. Right? Text to speech, speech to text, text to text, text to, or speech to speech will be solved over the next decade.
So that the gospel will be available
absolutely
to all people in every language.
And we will be able to teach every person in their native, social, culturally relevant way. You know, so truly, you know, I believe we can educate every child living in poverty over the by the end of the next decade. Which, you know, when you think about the heart of the gospel, right? If I'm going to lift people out of poverty, educating them.
Yes.
And the power of AI is going to enable us to do that, right? We're going to connect them. We're going to be able to, you know, every student will have their AI agent that becomes their personal tutor, right? What are they doing good at? What are they not doing good at? Where do we need intervention? How do we help them? What's their learning modalities? You know, it's going to be thrilling in that sense. And, you know, the message to, you know, the church that I would say is embrace it. This is the most powerful technological tool, you know, literally, I believe, since Gutenberg.
Wow.
And we have the opportunity to be shaping it as a force for good.
Man. Well, I hope you're inspired by that. We got to get out more. Pat, anything else just out of your own life, your own experience as you've walked with God in your career in ministry? Anything else you'd want to comment on? Free shot. Let people know.
Well, you know, I've spent my life living at this intersection of faith and technology. The large majority of your listeners, John, you know, they're in the workplace, in the marketplace.
Yep.
They're in the school place, in, you know, the home place. A few are pastors, you know, but most of them get to be representing the gospel in the places that they're in. And in that sense, I often ask people, are you a full-time minister? And if you, I don't want to be John Arbor, you know, but yeah.
I feel that way myself sometimes.
But you have the opportunity to be called to full-time ministry in whatever setting you are. And if you're blessed like me to be a technologist, be a full-time minister as a technologist in a tech company. If that's in a school place or so on, how are you going to represent Christ and bring a little bit of heaven each day? Mm. And obviously in this technological era that we're in, you know, what a delightful time that we truly can solve education, solve disease, solve many of these things that have perplexed us. You know, let's get out more and change the world.
Well, I'm praying for you with Glue, with Playground, with all that you're doing, that this coming decade will be the most fruitful decade of your life.
Thank you. And that's my prayer for you too, my friend.
And you too. Thank that.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there, or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.